How did you come to work on the Sagrada Familia?
I was a student in the UK and had a grant to come over to get material for a thesis. And while I was here, I was surprised to find the Sagrada Familia was still being built. I was understood that it had been abandoned. And one thing led to another, and I had an interview with the two architect directors, both of whom were getting on towards 90 years old, who had been working with Gaudi when they were young students themselves, young architects rather, and Gaudi was an older man. And I had two questions for them. One was, where was the authority to continue the building coming from, with all the drawings burnt and the models broken? And also, how do you explain to builders what they have to do each day? And they said to me that this was a good time to be asking these questions because they too were beginning to address the complexity of the situation. And they pointed to the broken models and said that when they saw Gaudi working on these models, they knew he had a system. And so my story starts there.
Did you have an affinity with Gaudi? Did you like his work beforehand?
Yes, I think like a lot of people, as soon as you experience Gaudi's work as buildings rather than photographs, the photographs are great, but his work is surprising because when you see the buildings and experience them, I think for many people it resonates very deeply, a whole lot of values from the buildings. So he definitely was somebody who had attracted my interest and then, of course, passion.
Did it feel strange taking on a certain type of mantle, a great man, a man of faith, a man who had designed this building? Did you feel in awe almost?
Yes, I did. But you join a community. For everybody, the building is Gaudi's building. So there's nobody working on the building today would claim authorship. So I think you join a team. And as part of a team, you realise that there's a master at work in the form of Gaudi and a lot to be learnt. So in awe, yes, but in the best sense.
How much has there been a mixture? Obviously, there's old methods, but there's also new technology. How do you marry the two?
Well, I'm lucky because I think I'm the only person on the building who's worked in a traditional way that Gaudi himself would have worked. And then I became responsible for the introduction of the new technologies, particularly the computer. So it means I can actually comment on both. And the beauty of the way we use the computer is it's the same approach to design that Gaudi used himself. It's very unusual. The proof of this is the fact that we can't use architectural software. We, in fact, use software that engineers use to design airplanes and boats and cars. It's a way of thinking about volume and space, which is we have in common, the Sagrada Familia and these other industries. So it's been a very easy transition from one to the other. Nothing's been lost, but we've gained a lot of time.
Looking at the Sagrada Familia, 6 months ago there was an awful lot of work going on in it. You could see diggers and bulldozers and kind of almost digging into the foundations. Being there the other night was incredible because although it is still a work in progress, there was a terrific transformation.
Well, I think that's you've just summed up the spirit of Catalunya there. It's a really can-do country, and I don't know about other countries, but I know that if somebody said to me 6 months ago, this will never be ready in time, and I certainly had people saying that, there's always that confidence that you're working with people who just know how to get things done quickly and efficiently, and I think that would sum up the process of the last few months to a T.
How much has the Sagrada Familia become part of your life?
Well, I'm in my 50s now, and I started working on the project first when I was in my early 20s. So during the whole of that time, I never considered it as being a life work. It was always one part of the project, then another part of the project. And looking back now, of course, it's become my life work, regardless of the future. And it's something which I can only say has happened retrospectively. I did not set out for this to happen. I didn't set out for it not to happen either, but it's how it's happened. It's
a bit of fate involved?
Absolutely, yes. It has to be regarded as fate at work.
Did you need to study church history to help you with the Sagrada Familia?
That's a very interesting question. No, I didn't. I did, but we did that as part of our studies. There was absolutely no problem for me. But interesting enough, I've just written a book, and one of the things they asked me to do was to make a glossary. And then they asked me to put certain words in there. One of them was the nave. And I wrote back saying, this is getting a little bit ridiculous. And they said, no, do you realise that students of architecture today will not necessarily have studied ecclesiastical architecture? But when I studied, and that's at the University of Cambridge, we did a whole cycle of lectures on monasteries and the Gothic, Norman Gothic and Renaissance architecture, particularly church architecture.
People sometimes lament the fact that when you think of Christian art, you think of art going way back, but the Sagrada Familia is a mixture of art and faith, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, as an architect, it's really interesting for us because we work very closely with Joan Subirax, the sculptor for the Passion Facade, and one of my jobs is to lead the team completing the Passion Facade. And the border between where the architecture stops and the art starts is very, very fluid. So I think it's one of the important aspects of the Sagrada Familia today is that it supports art, Christian art. It's not just a place where you attach the paintings, it is the painting itself.
You were talking about all the people you work with, and there's so many people involved in this project. It's called the Sagrada Familia, but do you feel, with architects and other people involved, that there is a family within a family, as it were, at the Sagrada Familia with regard to colleagues? And
yes, and I lecture widely on this aspect of the building because I think the way the Sagrada Familia is produced is possibly how all buildings should be produced. There isn't that instinctive battle going on between the architects and the money people and the builders and the client. It's actually one team. It is a family. No decision is made in the building without everybody being involved, including the builder. So when we think to do something, we wouldn't presume to design it and then ask an engineer to make it stand up and then ask a builder to make it. Those people are involved in the same decision-making process at the beginning. It is a family.
It's also a temple that is paid for by the people. It's you could call it a people's temple, a people's church, almost.
I know. When I take visitors around, they always presume that a large sum of money is coming from the government, or it's coming from the church, or it's coming from corporate, corporate sponsorship. And I think it's with real pride that you can say, no, this is actually paid for by people donating, and obviously when they visit the building, they're making a contribution through their entry charge. And that's a very rich context to build a building like the Sagrada Familia.
Obviously with the Pope coming, he'll be consecrating this. It'll be not just an attraction, not just a place where tourists go, but it'll become a live, breathing basilica.
Yeah, I'm very clear about this. It's not a tourist destination that's being constructed. It's a church. And it also has appeal for everybody to come and visit, but they're visiting a church. That's absolutely clear, or a basilica, as it will become.
For you, the Pope's visit, you've been working on this project since 1979. So is it the ultimate to have the Pope coming to consecrate it? Although there's more work to be done, but how do you feel having the Pope coming now to consecrate it?
The interior is complete. It doesn't matter what happens to the exterior now. There's obviously some things to finish in the interior, but effectively it's complete. So this is absolutely the right moment for the Pope to come and to turn the building from a building site, as it has been for all the years that I've been involved, into a fully functioning basilica. Yeah, it's the right time.
Well, on that note, Mark Burry, thank you so much for talking to me. It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.